In my dream, I'm walking down a long corridor. The bottom is flat, but the top is circular. The corridor is well lit, even though there are no lights. I hear horses' hooves behind me. I turn to see an angel on a white horse riding very fast. There is another white horse next to him that is running just as fast. The angel stops very quickly next to me, jumps off the left side of the horse, and comes quickly around the front toward me. When he smiles, I notice his dimples and recognize him as the angel in a previous dream. He calls me by my heavenly name, the name I know only in my dreams. He says, "You need to mount up, as there is much to show and tell you. We have a great distance to go and very much to see, and the great interceder has specific instructions that I am to follow." He walks around the front of his horse, jumps up from the left side, and holds onto the horse's mane. I do the same. The horses begin a slow trot that turns into a gallop, then a full high-speed run. Whereas I have ridden horses before, this is different. This horse does not move up and down, but feels as if it is moving smoothly and straight. I can sense we are traveling at a very high speed through the corridor. After what seems like a very short ride, the horses stop. I have no way to gauge it, but I know we have just traveled a very great distance. The angel once again dismounts from the left side, and I do the same. He tells me, "Your prayers and questions have been heard, as are all prayers. It is time that those who study time understand what they are doing." We are still in the corridor. The angel turns and asks for my right hand. I hold it out, and he says, "I have much to show you and teach you." We turn to the side of the corridor and begin walking. I instantly think that we are going to walk into the side of the corridor wall. We walk through the wall, but there is no door. We walk into a room where we are observers. The angel says, "What I show you now concerns something that you have been praying about and asking instructions on. I see many people sitting in a room with tables." He says, "These are brothers and sisters from your church, but not of the same faith. I notice some have what looks like a long towel with fringes and knots tied in the ends, and these are draped around their neck. As they kneel, they pull this cloth over their head. Many have a small round cloth disc on their head. I see many inanimate objects on the tables. There are trumpets laid out, but pointed in different directions. I notice scrolls and words underlined, and words they have added to the scrolls. I see what I can only describe as cornucopias filled with different kinds of foods. They would also worship a day of the week if the moon was in a certain phase and call it the Sabbath. This is in addition to the seventh day Sabbath. I look at my angel holding my right hand and say, "I do not understand." He says, "Look closely," and once again. I look again and I see angels sitting with these people. Their robes are very dark. Their countenances look miserable and war-torn. They coerce the people into believing what they want them to believe. I watch as brothers and sisters studying in the wrong way, believing things they no longer need to believe. I turn to see a large group of men over to the side. They are working hard at chiseling the number 2012 into a huge block of granite. When they finish, they melt and pour purchased gold into the numbers. Then they kneel around this block to pray, giving thanks for being shown the year when Jesus will come. The angel turns to me and says, reference Matthew 24:36, which says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." The angel continues by stating that the one of great disguise is placing traps for all, but the discerning eye and ear of those who have placed their heart in the hands of God will know when the evil one has him worshiping pagan and old laws, things that were done away with when Jesus was nailed to the cross and died. The angel, still holding my hand, says, "We must go." We turn and I find myself in the corridor. I notice the horses are gone. I stop and ask the angel his name. He answers, "You can call me the Herald." He spelled it for me. But who I am is not important. The great adjudicator is the one name we should want to know and speak of. We walk through the other side of the corridor into a room I quickly recognize. It is from the dream I called Go Forth. I am again standing only as an observer. I see many people I recognize. Standing a little behind me, I see again Brother J, Brother M, and Brother D with their wives. There are others there, but I cannot see them because of people blocking my view. My angel, still holding my right hand, has us rise off the floor. From this angle, I am able to see the almost uncountable group that is standing behind me. I recognize some that I could not see before. I see Brother and Sister C and Brother and Sister V. Next to them are many people I know by name but have not met in person. Others I have met but do not remember their names. I turn to my angel and he tells me that Sister V is to assist in the preparing of this dream. The angel says that upon receipt of the dream, she is to call her children together and they are to pray at the family altar for the Holy Spirit to instruct her as to what to type and correct on the dream. When she is finished, she is to return it to Becky and me to add our seal of approval. This will help in relieving us of some of the work. Sister V is to tell Brother S to stand by to place this message on our website, as it must be met by the prescribed deadline. The angel reminds me that Brother S is the one with a way to communicate. I am instructed that the messages he sends out are for his people. The great counselor is watching all that he does and is watching over his message for his people. Brother S is to know that if he ever has problems or needs help, he was given the telephone. The angel now tells me that there is so much more to show me. Still holding my right hand, we leave and are back in the corridor. He says, "Take a deep breath, for what I now show you is important." We walk once again through the side of the corridor. I find myself standing outside in a large field and looking up at something that looks like a large drive-in theater screen. It is very dark and I see no moon but many stars. The angel says, "Of anything that can be studied, what I show you now is of most importance." He smiles and instructs me to look at the first screen. I see what could be a movie of the front of a Bible. The large words, "Holy Bible," glisten in gold, and below it are the smaller words, "King James Version." The Bible opens to Exodus 20. The screen changes as the words spelling the law of God become bold, clear, and very easy to read. The angel smiles and says, "This is what God himself wrote and is very important. Remember what it says." Smiling again, he points at the next screen. I see Ellen White sitting in a chair with a pen in her hand. It is early in the morning and all is quiet. She is surrounded by many, many, many angels. Jesus kneels on one knee next to her and is instructing her what to write. The angel turns to me and says, "Share Revelation 19:10, which says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The angel directs me to notice the next screen. It is dark blue. I see a dark gold the words, "Jesus is coming. You must be ready." We turn and quickly walk through the corridor. I now watch as I see marking angels marking a spot where many infants, children, elderly, as well as those in between are laid to rest. The angel says that this is because of God's mercy. Since they could not make it through the time of trouble, he says we are not to feel remorse because they sleep for a short time before waking to see Jesus coming in the clouds. The angel says they will take their place as part of the great multitude. We turn and quickly walk back through the corridor. We are back in the room where I had the dream called Go Forth. I again stand as an observer. I listen and watch as Jesus holds out his hand and points to us, saying, "These are they." Jesus then turns to the pitcher-bearing angels and says, "Go forth and pour out my spirit." The angel, still holding my right hand, turns and quickly leads me back into the corridor. He pauses and says, "Note very carefully as we continue to see. This is important and must be understood by his people." I walk through the side of the corridor and enter into a large room. It looks like the same room I just came from, since I see all of us standing there again. But now I see us as empty containers waiting to be filled with what the pitcher-bearing angels are holding. The angel turns to me, smiles, and says, "Look very closely. I see that we are now all filthy, and that what the angels hold cannot be poured into us. It looks like mud, grease, and other garbage in us." I turn to the angel and tell him, "I do not understand what you're showing me. I thought we were clean." Still holding my hand, we turn and walk through the corridor again. We do not stop or even slow down. We are now in another room. I see Elder Cruz sitting at a desk writing something. I notice the room is filled with holy angels. I see Jesus kneeling on one knee next to him. He is telling him what to write. The angel says he is writing creeping compromise. This is what those which are they should be. This instruction is needed to perfect the character of those striving to be one of the 144,000. A review of this book will show that the angels cannot pour out his spirit into filthy containers. Those that really want to be one of the 144,000 should cleanse themselves now, not later. This book, inspired by Jesus, is a foundation of what to do. The angel expounds on elements of the book. He speaks about morality in the way we dress. He talks about the overabundance of makeup. He explains about jewelry and that there is no need to wear it. He says that even wearing the small symbol of your marriage is a small compromise, and that one leads to another. There will no longer be marriage in heaven and no rings. You were not born with it. The mind will be cleansed of want and craving, and the diet will be given up to that of which God had given Adam and Eve to eat. This will be done not because of the desire to be one of the 144,000, but because of the love for the one who is of the great love. Still holding my right hand, the angel and I move quickly through the corridor and into another room of mirrors. The angel instructs, "Look in the mirror and tell me what you see." I respond, "I see myself with you standing by me." He says, "This is wrong. You call yourself a Christian. When you look in a mirror, you should not see yourself. You should see Jesus. If you want to call yourself a Christian, then that means you want to be like Christ. How can you be like Christ and not look like him? You say you want to be one of the 144,000, and yet how can you, when you cannot stand without Christ holding you up to the Father? If you look like Christ, walk like Christ, smile like Christ, then you will be able to stand in that last day when Jesus cannot hold you up to the Father. When you look in a mirror and you see a clean vessel without any filth, then you will receive the blessing Jesus has commanded to pour forth. I turn to my angel and say, I feel as if there are so few doing the work of God. He smiles at me, and I once again notice his dimples. We turn and quickly go through the corridor into another room. I see many ministers anointed by God. My angel directs me to notice one in particular. I see Pastor Doug Batchelor standing there. I notice as he walks there are angels wearing very bright robes walking in front of him, carrying what looks like lamps that light his way. There are other angels around him that carry books, others that walk along to encourage him and direct him in his walk. Surrounding him are many larger angels dressed in battle gear. They encircle the entire group as they move forward. Outside of this group are many, many angels whose robes are black and dirty. They look worn and torn, and their countenance is not bright. I watch as these angels are constantly trying to attack Pastor Batchelor. Again, the angels turn to me and says, God has many workers in different areas at different levels. I ask him, should I share with Pastor Batchelor what I have just seen? He smiles and says, it is encouraging to know how the Father watches over you. You do not need to. I am sure he will know. You both walk a road parallel, and your roads will cross. I turn to the angel and tell him that I feel very overwhelmed with the depth of the things I am being shown. Still holding my right hand, we return to the corridor. My angel smiles at me and says, you, which are they, are together Haliva. I ask how he spells that. I tell him that I do not understand what he is trying to tell me or us. I state that I feel I am not appropriate for the task that has been given me, that there are others who are better suited for this. Smiling again, the angel explains, because you do not understand, you know. If you were to know, you would not understand. All of heaven knows, as well as all of earth, whom God has chosen. The enemy hates you, which are they, and will want to stop you, but the Father will prevail. I look to my angel and ask about the nail scars in the hands of Jesus. Again, the angel and I walk through the corridor. I now find myself walking along a beautiful stream. I am about to marvel at the beauty of the scene when I turn, because I hear my heavenly name called. I see Jesus walking toward us. I want to run to him, but I can't because my angel has a tight hold of my hand and will not let go. He says, you are in my keep. The three of us begin talking while walking along the stream. I do not have a desire to look at the beauty of what is there. I only want to look into the eyes of Jesus. I watch him and listen to everything he says. We approach a tree and he picks some kind of fruit. I do not care to look at it. I am only drawn to look into his eyes. He holds out the fruit in the palm of his hand, and I quickly glance down at it. He says, if you are faithful, you will see where I gave all for you. I quickly look up into his eyes. He says to me, and everyone who will sacrifice all for him, as he sacrificed all for us. If you are faithful, I will pluck fruit from this tree and place it in your mouth myself. All of the time, I never look at the tree or the area that is around. I only look at his eyes. Oh, those eyes! He turns to my angel and says, thank you. My angel lowers his head in reverence. The angel and I now return to the corridor and pass through. I find myself standing on top of a very large mountain. I can see a long ways to the north, south, west, and east. I turn to my angel and he says, look closely to the east. I see a clear blue sky without a single cloud. I then notice a very small black object. It is moving towards me at an unbelievable speed. I watch for a few seconds as the black cloud is now a little larger than a softball. My angel turns, and we are quickly back in the corridor. He looks at me and says, "This you will soon see." Standing in the corridor, the angel releases my right hand. I feel a separation that I cannot and do not want to feel. He has held my hand and has been with me through everything I have seen. He steps back, and I suddenly have a feeling of unbelievable happiness. I watch as the angel, who has stood about the same height as me until now, grows into his normal height, which I believe is about 15 feet tall. I watch as his wings come out from his back and unfold, unfold, and unfold again, and he stretches forth his wings. I notice they are curved and remind me of a hawk. I look up at him and ask, "Are they real or symbolic?" He smiles, and those dimples showed even more. He answers, "You are the bold one, aren't you?" He waves his huge wings at one time and is instantly high in the air. He looks at me and says, "If you remain faithful to your Savior, you will find out." Then he smiles the biggest smile ever. As I look up, another angel slides out from behind him to the left. Then another slides to the right. I watch as many angels appear from behind each other. They all look differently. The area becomes filled with many, many, many angels. I watch as Jesus walks through the midst and approaches me. He says, "To those, which are they? I hold you in the palm of my hand and will never let you go. I have paid dearly for you, and you are mine. Watch as I am coming." Suddenly, it becomes very, very, very bright behind the angels and Jesus. I know that if it becomes any brighter, I will not be able to bear it. I then hear the most melodious voice that has the sound of thunderous waterfall, the sound of a mountain stream, as well as a small trickle of water, but it's all at the same time. The voice says, "When I see you, I see my Son. When I see my Son, I see you. For these are they which are my people. I am well pleased. I accept you through my Son."